good to know that Brother Tony has enough confidence in me that I can stand in his pulpit and he'll not be present here, and him believing and trusting that I won't send all y'all away and you'll never come back. So it's nice to see all these young men and young ladies here. If I could sing like Brother Tim, I could probably quit my day job. My goodness. You know, we live stream y'all every now and then on Wednesday nights, and sometimes we'll go back during the week and catch a Sunday service, and I always enjoy it when Brother Tim has a special. So you're being monitored, Brother Tim. I don't sing very much, but seeing all these kids here, I want to sing a song I learned when I was like 7 or 8 years old. It's in minors. I'm not a musician, so I have no key. I don't even stay in tune anyway, so it doesn't matter. The devil is a rustler, and many are his men who ride the plains and valleys, branding souls with death and sin. If you're a Christian cowboy, then saddle up God's word and save a soul that's heading toward the devil's herd. Swinging in to the saddle, start riding and start riding hard. Search the canyons of Genesis. I could preach sermon after sermon and never get past the 7th or 8th chapter. But in Genesis chapter 6, I want to start with verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come down before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt be, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And if we go back before this, God had told Noah, God had seen how wicked the world had become and was going to destroy the whole world. But it said Noah found grace. And we have to find that same grace, because the same judgments of God has come upon the earth today. You may be seated. Now, I want to talk about this morning on the sealing of the ark. Not so much on the flood God promised and the destruction, but more about the details that God gave Noah on the building of the ark. Now, Noah was proven to be a false prophet for 120 years. Here came a man upon the scene in a wicked, wicked day, and we can put this in our day today. And when wickedness gets so rampant, God has to raise up a man of God to bring correction.
Right.
He's always done that. He started here with, even before Noah, we had an Enoch. And now we had an Enoch too. We had Noah, we had Enoch. We've had all the prophets. Every time that there was wickedness coming to the world, God would raise up some man to do the job, to bring a word to the people, to restore them back to the faith of the fathers,
right,
so they could escape the oncoming judgments of God.
Yeah.
And that just did not end when the Bible ended, after Paul and them. It went down through seven church ages, and he's done it again in this day. And every one of these prophets has faced ridicule. They've been called liars. They've been taken by great men who think they know the Bible and think they know the truth. And they have dissected their stories. They have dissected their sermons and their words to prove them false prophets.
Right.
Well, they say he can't be a true prophet because this prophecy never happened. You know, Joseph in the Bible was a false prophet under them conditions.
Right.
Joseph, the dreamer. Mm-hmm. He said he had that dream where the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to him. Mm-hmm. Father, mother, and his brothers. But do you know, when he came into power in Egypt, his mother was dead? Look it up. So can we say Joseph was a false prophet? Depends on how you want to look at it. These people that are saying Brother Brennan was a false prophet, they're going to have to say Joseph was a false prophet. What about Noah? 120 years, they proved he was a false prophet. Said it was going to rain for 120 years. He is telling them things they had never heard about. If you would have had a dictionary in Noah's day and went through it, there was no word called rain.
Right.
There was no word called flood, because the Bible says that when God created the world, it was watered by a dew. And it said it had never rained before Noah's time.
Right.
So if it had never rained, nobody knew what rain was. And now we've got this man, he comes out and he's preaching to people, saying God's going to destroy them. He's going to make it rain, and they're saying, what's rain? Mm-hmm. How do you explain it to them?
Right.
They've never heard about it. How do you explain to people today about how women can't wear pants? They've been raised in an environment where women have always wore pants.
Yeah, right.
And now we go tell them, you know, it's wrong for a woman to dress that way. They just can't accept that in their way of thinking because they've never seen where it was wrong.
Yeah.
Although I'm old enough, I'm 61 years old, I can remember in grade school when teachers were not allowed to wear pants if they were female.
Right.
I remember in the 6th or 7th grade when that changed. I remember that. I was there. A woman could not come into it. At a classroom wearing pants. It wasn't permitted. If you'll go back and watch on YouTube the old movies like the Andy Griffith shows and everything, and when they have street scenes, all the women are in dresses.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Right.
What's rain? Right. They don't understand. But yet, truth is truth.
Right.
And Noah was proven for 120 years, they proved that Noah was a false prophet.
Right. Yeah.
Jonah. What a great prophet that man was. There's never been another prophet that has had the turnout he had that the whole city repented. Brother Brenham never had them results. Paul never had them results.
Yeah.
That he went into one huge city and he preached and everybody was converted. That was a great ministry Jonah had, a great testimony. But yet, was Jonah a false prophet? Because he went to Nineveh saying, in so many days, God's going to destroy this city.
Yeah.
No ifs, no ands, no buts. He said God was going to do it.
Right.
Did God do it? Was Jonah a false prophet? According to some of these people today, he would have been. We don't understand prophecy. God gives the prophecy, we just have to believe it. It's not our job to make prophecy fulfill itself. It's our job to believe it.
Right.
So it had never rained. God had not caused it to rain, it said in Genesis 2, verse 5, upon the earth. Noah's prophecy did not come to pass until it was too late for repentance. That's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Right. Amen.
These people were ridiculing Noah. No doubt, maybe 119 or 118 years before this, when Noah started preaching, he might have had a congregation. People might have believed him. He might have had a great church, maybe 1,000 people, maybe 500 people that were into Noah's teachings. And they could see how God was moving upon his life and he was vindicated prophet of that day. But as time went on, this rain he talked about wasn't happening. These floods he was talking about wasn't happening. So they started finding fault with his prophecies. And little by little they fell away, if he had a following, which he probably did. Until he was just left with 3 sons. And 3 daughters-in-laws and a wife. And who knows if the sons and the daughter-in-laws believed him either. Who knows?
Right.
But they obeyed. Obedience brings good results.
Yeah.
Because of their obedience, it doesn't say if they believed in him or not, but because of their obedience, they were spared. So obedience goes a long way with God.
Right.
He had to, it said here, in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now we've got to realize this is God speaking. This is God's commandment to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. I'm a builder. I build houses, additions, whole houses, whatever. I know how to build a house. And this ark ain't a whole lot different. It's just a house that floats. And I know that after the foundation's made, whether it's a pier and beam, wood floor, or a slab, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to put up my walls and I'm going to brace them. Then I'm going to put up my rafters. And then I don't come in there and insulate it and put up my sheetrock after I've done my electrical and my plumbing and do all my painting. I don't seal the inside of the house before I seal the outside. I don't do it that way.
Right.
Why? If it rains, it's ruined.
Right.
I mean, if I go up there and I close my ceilings in and I close my walls in from the inside and I don't have any outside walls covered, or the roof on, the metal, or the shingles, I don't have any of that on yet, and I have finished the inside of the house, guess what happens when it rains? Everything I've done is for naught. But yet, God told Noah to seal the inside first. Ain't that kind of strange?
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that? Seal it within and without.
Right.
Noah, I want you to build this ark. And I want you to seal the inside first. Now, to me, that's completely wrong, God. God, you don't know what you're doing. You're not a builder. I'm not going to seal the inside first because if the outside... Well, I've got to realize now, never thought of this till just now. It ain't going to rain anyway.
Right.
Don't know why I've never seen that before. I just now saw it. It ain't going to rain anyway. So maybe I'm looking at this wrong. But anyway, God told him to seal the inside first. And that caught my attention. Why the inside first? And he told Noah to get the pitch. He didn't just go down to Home Depot and order a truckload of 5-gallon buckets of pitch. If y'all don't know what pitch is, it's a tarry substance. And you put it on with a trowel or a real stick brush or something. It's like a tar. And you have to seal it with. And, you know, they still use that stuff on flat roofs and stuff in places. But it's nasty. It's dirty. It drips. It gets all over you and you can't get it off. It's just a gooey, tarry substance. And they had to go get the pitch themselves. I don't know where they got it. They had to make it. So no wonder it took them 120 years. But it would have done no good to Noah to just get the pitch. He had to bring it in and apply it.
Right.
He had to labor to put the pitch on and the entire ark for a sealing of what was to come. The pitch would not apply itself. God Noah told Noah to pitch the ark within and without.
Right.
Just like I said, it'd be crazy for me to build a house and close up the inside before I put up the outside bricks or siding. But God told Noah just the opposite. Now, I'm sure Noah's wife looked at him and his son said, "Noah, you're crazy. We need to pitch the outside first." But we have to do it the way God tells us.
Right.
It don't matter how crazy the Word of God sounds, we have to do it.
Right.
It sounds crazy that we are told we have to dress certain ways. It sounds crazy we are told we can't do certain things. What's the harm in it? That's not for us to figure out. God said we can't do these things, we can't do them. It's not ours to question, it's ours to obey.
Right.
So, it seems if God was doing it backwards, but with God, nothing is out of place. The ark had to be built exactly the way God said. We have to do it exactly the way God said.
Amen.
He gave Noah the plans. He told him, here we just read it. He told him how big to make it. How to make it, how to seal it, what to use, what kind of wood, what kind of pitch. And Noah had to follow those plans. Now, when I'm building, they can bring me a set of plans that they spent $5,000, some big architect drawing. We just built a little cabin last year for a lady, and the plans were drew up in the state of Oregon. Well, you want to know something? That may work in Oregon, but in South Texas, it won't work. And the lady I was building it for, she lived in Corpus Christi. They own a big landscaping company, have 28 full-time employees, a landscaping and garden center and all this stuff. And she didn't really know that much about building, but she knew the way she wanted it. I can't tell you how many times I had to call her and say, "Jill, or Sally, we got to revise these plans. This ain't going to work. So we would revise them. But I couldn't have done that with God's plans. I can't take something out of this Bible to make it fit my standards.
Right.
But with those plans, I had to do it because it would not have worked the way she wanted it done. And every time we redid something, she'd come out and she said, that's so much better. Yes, ma'am, that is so much better. We knew that that was wrong. We had to do it this way. But when God gives the plans, we have to follow them. Now, we have to realize it took Noah 120 years to build this ark. Now, if I'm on a job that long, something ain't getting done. But you got to realize how big this ark was.
Right.
It was huge. I don't know if any of y'all been to Kentucky and seen that one. I haven't. I'd like to go. But it was almost 100,000 square feet of wall surfaces. And that's just on the inside. On the outside, now you got to double that. And they had to pitch almost 200,000 square feet of wall surface. That's a lot of wall.
Right.
You take this wall, if it's 10 foot high and, 40 feet long, that's only 400. Can you imagine 100,000 square feet of wall surface that you've got to pitch? And you've limited on your labor force. You don't have that much help. And can you imagine just finding that much pitch? It wasn't just putting it on. Putting it on was probably the easy, it was the nasty part, but it was probably the easier part because you had to go gather it all.
Right.
I don't know how they made it or where they got it, but they had to gather it and put it together and produce this product called pitch and put it on. So it was quite a job. It was 30 cubits high, which is 44 feet high. That's how tall the ark was. A cubic is 18 inches. It had three levels. It was three stories. Each level was about 14 foot tall, plenty of room for the big animals. 300 cubits long, which is 440 feet long. Now we know a football field is 300 feet long.
Right.
So this thing was almost as long as a football field and then another half. That is a pretty big boat. That is a huge boat.
Man.
That's bigger than the Titanic. And it had to be that big because of all the animals.
Right.
And all the feed they probably had to take in and store in it. It was 50 cubits wide, which was 75 feet wide. It was a really big ark. Each level consisted of about 33,000 square feet. We take a normal house, it's 25 to maybe 3,200 square feet. This ark was 33,000 square feet. Almost 100,000 square feet of wall space. And Noah had to seal all this after he built it. But before he was told how to build it, God told him about the sealing of it. That was the most important. Why did the inside have to be sealed? It's just a boat. Why was it made out of gopher wood? You know, y'all know what gopher wood is? They say there ain't any gopher wood in the world anymore. Nobody really knows what it was. But they claim it's like cypress. Do y'all know what cypress is? It ain't a very strong wood. I could take a cypress two before and break it over my knees without hurting my knee. It's pulpy. It's full of crevices. It's full of holes. It weighs almost nothing. It's not like balsa wood, but it ain't far from it. It's just a really light, porous wood. But when you think about it, this ark is going to be floating for over a year. It's got to be sealed, and what would seal better? A 2x4 made out of yellow pine that is slick with no holes, or something that can absorb the sealing, the pitch. So this gopher wood was made where if you put something on it, it would absorb into it.
Right.
So it couldn't be tore up. It could stand the coming judgment that was coming. It was a very soft wood. It was very brittle. So why did you have to seal the inside? Well, Noah's sons could look at him. I know Brittany and Matt, y'all got three little boys there. There's Ham, Shem, and Japheth, you know. And there's Noah and his wife right there. We go. Now, they ain't got their wives with them yet. They're not old enough. But, you know, he had his three sons, and they'd go, Dad, why? This is a lot of work. Can't we just pitch the outside? That's where all the water is going to be hitting it. Why do we have to pitch the inside? Makes sense to me.
Right.
Don't that make sense? Brother, we could go build us a boat, right? We can go get us a bunch of plywood and we can build us a wooden boat. And you know, we're not going to have to seal the inside of it, are we? I mean, if we seal the outside and epoxy it or rosin it and paint it all up or put metal fabrication, it's going to be good to go, is it not?
Amen.
You ever seen a little rowboat? It's never finished on the inside.
Right.
You're a fisherman. You've probably been in some that you wish you weren't in. But, you know, maybe they should have been sealed on the inside. But, you know, I'm sure they question, though, why do we have to seal the inside? Because God said so. But, Dad, it's a lot more work. And why are we doing it first? Because God said so. So they did it.
Right.
But if the inside wasn't sealed, you have to remember what was going in this ark. A bunch of animals.
Right.
Y'all know what animals do? You got a cat, it's always scratching on stuff. You got a dog always chewing on things, or a horse. You know what a horse does to wooden fences? It'll eat them in half. But let me tell you, if you pitch that wood with a bunch of tar, they ain't going to chew on it.
Right.
They ain't going to scratch on it. So they had to seal it from the inside to protect it from being tore apart. I'm getting something. What if Noah hadn't sealed the inside? Well, for one thing, you know, animals put out bodily fluids also.
Right.
Could you imagine? You know, they weren't just in that ark for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, they was in it for over a year. Read your Bible. It rained for 40 days and for 40 nights.
Right.
But they were in that ark for over a year. Could you imagine how that would have smelled? With all that stuff soaking into that wood from the inside, you couldn't have stood the smell of it. It would have been impossible to clean it.
Right.
And don't tell me them animals weren't making messes. Because they were eating. They had to be kept alive. If it hadn't been sealed on the inside, there was no way they could have kept it clean. There's no way they could have handled the smell. So it had to be sealed on the inside. And if it's sealed on the inside, it couldn't be torn apart by the animals.
Right.
And the most important thing, sealing the inside covers up any mistakes they missed on the sealing of the outside. In other words, if they seal the outside and they miss something, the inside's going to cover it.
Right.
So it had three purposes. The ark was specially prepared for the coming destruction of the entire world when God did it the first time. And we are in the age of a coming destruction when God will destroy the world again.
Yeah.
We've got to get in our ark.
Yeah.
You know, Easter's coming up. And I was thinking, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection. But you know, we're all looking for the rapture. But there can't be a rapture until there's a resurrection first. And we are looking for the resurrection so we can all get out of here. So, once again, he was commanded to build an ark. And we can see Noah, he's standing out there in the field one day. And it said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And all that was going on, God going to destroy the world. But he looked down and he saw Noah. Noah had probably, I don't know if he'd been a preacher, it doesn't say. But one day he hears this voice, Noah. He turns around, no one's there. Noah. Then he realizes it's just God building an ark. I'm not a builder. You're going to be. Here's the plans. Here's the way to do it. And here's why you're going to do it. So Noah goes and he gets his sons and they start getting the wood, they start gathering the pitch, and they start building the ark, and people start coming around. What's going on? What are you doing? You don't need a house this big. Now, this ain't a house. Well, what is it? It's a boat. That big? What kind of fisherman are you? There ain't no fish in the ocean that big. And it's on dry land. How are you going to get it to the ocean? How are you going to get it to the river? And he starts telling them God's plan. They laughed at him. They scoffed him. They run him out of town. But you know, he was the vindicated prophet of that day.
Okay.
And when God sends a vindicated prophet, you better listen. It don't matter how crazy, how stupid it sounds. You better listen.
Okay.
Well, they're going around now trying to disprove Brother Brennan. Let them. You can't prove those 17 men fell off that ridge and died. You know what I tell them? You can't prove they didn't.
Right.
Well, you can't prove he was a game warden. You can't prove he wasn't. You can't prove he was a boxer and won them titles. You can't prove he wasn't. You can't prove he caught that record trout up there in North Dakota and Walt Disney had it mounted. I said, you can't prove he didn't.
Right.
So it works both ways.
Right.
Well, what about his prophecy of saying that Billy Paul, before you're an old man, this one's going around like crazy right now, there'll be sharks swimming where you're standing. I said, where did he say that? You know, that ain't on tape. Do you know that, Brother Tim? Search it out. It ain't there. There is no record William Marion Brenham ever said to Billy Paul, there will be sharks swimming where you're standing before you're an old man. That is Billy Paul's testimony. So are you saying Billy Paul's a liar? I said, no, I'm not. But my Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We only have one man's word for it.
Right.
I don't know what Brother Brenham said. Did Billy Paul get it wrong thinking? Did he quote it wrong or whatever? But it's not on tape.
Right.
It's not on book. So we can, Brother Brenham said, say only what I say on these tapes.
Amen.
And that's not on the tape, so I have no confidence in that. If it happens, it happens. I don't care. My faith ain't best based on Billy Paul not being an old man in California going to the ocean.
Right.
My faith is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm not looking for prophecies to be filled. The Word of God is enough for me.
Amen.
I don't need vindication of prophecies. That's all good and that's all fine and I love that stuff. But show me by this Bible where William Brenham was wrong.
Right.
On dressing. On serpent seed, on seven church ages. Show me where he was wrong. Quit tearing the man down. You know, the Apostle Paul, half the New Testament was wrote by him.
Right.
Do you think we have Ephesians and Corinthians and Hebrews and Galatians? Do you think those were the only sermons that the Apostle Paul ever preached? He preached thousands of sermons.
Yeah.
And those are the only ones we had record of. And we have 1,100 and something sermons that William Brenham preached. And he said this here and he said this here. This don't make it. I'm sure if you'd had all the sermons Paul preached, you could have found fault and things not lining up with him too. Why? Because he's a man. He's not God.
Right.
I thank God Brother Brenham made mistakes.
Right. Me too.
Because if he didn't, he'd been God. And I'm not looking at prophecies. I love the prophecies.
Right.
But I don't know. Are they going to happen when we're here? Or are they going to happen when we're gone?
Right.
There's some gray area there. So I'm not basing my faith on a rapture, on prophecies being filled or not being filled. I'm just going to go in obedience to the Word of God sent through a vindicated prophet. And I'm going to seal my ark. But once again, we are commanded to build an ark. This ark is not 44 foot high. It's not 75 foot wide and 440 foot long. And it doesn't contain 100,000 square feet. The ark God has prepared for us is His Word that is inside us. And we don't have to spend 120 years building it. We don't have to gather in bunches of animals. This ark is in the body of man. It's in our souls.
Amen.
It's what we do with the vindicated word of our day.
Right.
We're not going to have to go get into an ark and float above the destruction of the world.
Right.
We're going to have to take the Holy Ghost, the ark of our day, and apply it to our lives.
Amen.
The ark of safety.
Amen.
One thing that's common between the Holy Ghost, which is our ark of safety, because without the Holy Ghost, we're not crossing over.
Right.
Without the ark, Noah wasn't crossing over. Without the Holy Ghost, we're not crossing over. But one thing about it, it still has to be sealed. And the inside must be sealed first.
Amen.
We see so many people come in to the ark of salvation today. The women have short hair. The guy's arms are pierced up with needle marks. Maybe they were an alcoholic. Maybe they were out in sin and they did things that are reflecting. You look at them, you say there's no way they can be a Christian. But what about the inside? Remember, the inside gets sealed first.
Right.
I mean, they could have looked at Noah's ark and not realized the inside had been sealed. And they're still looking at the outside thinking it's at fault. But when you get the Holy Ghost, it comes inside you. Then all these desires of the world start leaving. You don't clean up the outside first. That'll never work. I see so many young people and old people trying to live right. That ain't what it takes. When you've got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to try to live right. You live right. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to clean up the outside first, but there is nothing on the inside that's going to make the outside stay clean. It does no good to come to church and never miss a service and pay your tithes and dress right and wear your hair right and do all this stuff right if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been sealed on the inside, all you're being is a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out one day when the rapture comes, you're going to be left behind. Because the Holy Ghost, what it does, it comes into you. You've repented of your sins. You've been baptized. It comes into you. And now the outside is going to reflect what's on the inside. I like that demonstration of a banana. I wish I had one. A woman said, you know, it don't matter how I dress. God looks at the inside. Said, you know, you eat a banana, you don't eat the outside. Do you? How many of y'all eat the outside of a banana, the peeling? I don't know, Brother Matt. I always peel mine first and throw that peeling away and I eat the inside. So, you know, that might make a lot of sense. But when I go to buy a banana, I judge it by the outside.
Right, yeah.
Because the outside reflects the inside.
Right.
If that old banana is all squishy and black and brown and has rips in the skin, you know, the peel, I ain't going to buy that banana.
Right.
Because I know what on the inside ain't any good either.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly likes my bananas. So, you know, the outside reflects what's on the inside. So the Holy Ghost was given to us for a sealing.
Amen.
And the inner part must be sealed first or it won't work. Brother Branham said, you can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life and be lost.
Right.
That just doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Right.
My uncle the other day was telling me that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing and obeying every word of God.
Amen.
Because I know people that have spoken in tongues and they live like the devil.
Yep.
But you know, they say, you know, in the book of Acts that, you know, that they shall speak with new tongues, so that's evidence. Well, what about the rest of that verse? When's the last time you took up a deadly serpent? That's evidence of the Holy Ghost too, right? It's in the same verse. Go get you a can of arsenic and drink it. Because in that same verse it says, evidence of the Holy Ghost is you can drink any deadly thing and it can't harm you. So why do they just take one of the three and claim that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost?
Right.
It isn't. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing and obeying every word of God.
Right.
It's not enough to just believe this Bible. You have to obey it. And people don't obey it. They just believe, well, it's the Word of God, yeah, but still, God's forgiving, God loves everybody, we're all okay. No, you're not okay. There is a heaven, there's in a hell. When's the last time you went to a funeral and they put the person in hell? Anybody ever been to a funeral where they said that person went to hell? Have you? But I bet you that's where they went, 9 out of 10 of them.
Right.
But you don't hear about hell anymore. You know, my best friend in Utopia died last year about this time. I think it was in March sometime. He was a veterinarian, and we were really good friends. And, of course, he claimed he was a Christian, but he was living with a woman that wasn't his wife. And I had 3 other wives already he'd been divorced from. And he gets out of bed one Sunday morning, goes in the kitchen to get his coffee, drops dead with a heart attack. He was only 73 or 4 years old. And, they put that man in heaven. And I knew him like a book. He's a great guy, but he cussed. He was living in adultery. My Bible says adulterers don't go to heaven.
Right.
And now by putting him into heaven, you're telling your whole church that it's okay, you can live that kind of lifestyle and you're okay? You see the problem?
Amen.
But it's not that way. They don't have a clue what the Holy Ghost is. They don't know that the Holy Ghost is none other than Jesus Christ in spirit form coming and living inside of you. They've got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, 3 different people up here they're looking at, not realizing that the 3 are one. Jesus, when he was a man, he could walk beside you, but when he's the Holy Ghost, he can live inside you. It's just so simple. Jesus could not accomplish what he wanted to on earth as a man. So he had to go away where he could come back in the form of the Holy Ghost and not dwell with the people, but dwell in the people. So if you got the Holy Ghost, what you've got is Jesus inside of you.
Amen.
And you will act like it.
Right.
You won't be cussing. You won't be going to the things of the world. You won't be looking at the wrong things. You will be reflecting what is inside of you. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, it seals you on the inside.
Amen.
And the outside will take shape on its own.
Right.
Little by little, you'll start dressing right. You'll start talking right. You'll quit doing the worldly things. I've known people that have gotten the Holy Ghost and they were changed immediately. And I know others, it was a work. But you could see the changes being made. And you knew that the Holy Ghost was working on them. Little by little, the things of the world were falling off and dropping off. God is so awesome. He's so good to us. But Brother Brenham said, you can have the Holy Ghost every day and be lost. And I've always wondered about that. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Holy Ghost falls on the unjust. They will have miracles. They will have healings. They will have great revivals. The Holy Spirit will fall with them. But do they take that Holy Ghost and apply it to their lives? It does me no good to speak in tongues or drink deadly things. It does me no good to have the Holy Ghost every day of my life if I don't apply it to my life. I have to take that Holy Ghost and I have to apply it on the inside and the outside to reflect the person God wants me to be.
Right.
God's going to give me the Holy Ghost. It does me no good to just take it if I don't apply it. God could have gave Noah the pitch. It would have done him no good if he hadn't applied it to the ark. That ark would have sunk.
Right.
It has to be applied to your life. You must apply it. Getting it isn't enough. You must seal the inside. It takes a labor to do it. You must pray without ceasing. You must keep coming to church. You got to keep hearing the word. Keep obeying the word. You got to pay your tithes and your offerings. It's quite a job to apply the Holy Ghost to your life, but it'll keep you from sinking.
Right. Amen.
How many's got the Holy Ghost? There ain't a better way. I don't have to worry about coming home drunk and beating my wife and getting arrested and going to jail.
Right.
I don't have to worry about being in some gutter hungover from a drug overdose. I don't have to worry that if I get cancer, I'm going to die from it, because God is inside of me. He's going to heal me. The Holy Ghost is a keeping power. And if you don't have it in your life, and if you're not sealed with it, it does you no good. It's no good to just take the Holy Ghost and put it upon a shelf. And that's what most so-called Christians do. They take their Christianity the way they want it, and they just put it on a shelf with a sign on it: we'll use when needed. It's not medicine.
Right.
It's something we have to have every day of our life.
Yeah.
We're no good without it. But the Holy Ghost is Christ within you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And without Christ in you, there's no hope of glory.
Amen.
It's not just for when we need it.
Right.
You know why? We always need it.
Amen.
Especially in this wicked day, every minute. I mean, it's just filth everywhere. You can't even talk to the ladies anymore without hearing them use all the profanity. And the kids using the profanity. And the way they dress, the way they think, it. Judgment's coming. Have you got your ark built? Have you applied it to the inside and the outside? But if you take the Holy Ghost and seal the inside, the outside will be easier to seal as well.
Right.
And what is it going to do? If you're sealed on the inside, any mistakes you've made on the outside, they're covered.
Amen.
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 We all have faults. Brother Branham said one place, you will sin on purpose. A Holy Ghost-filled person. And God doesn't even see it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, you've been sealed on the inside. And any defects on the outside, they're covered. I like that.
Amen.
Brother Tim, we can go out there and we might look the wrong way. So we might, you ladies, or you might say a little gossip, or we might think a wrong thought. But you want to know something? God doesn't even see it. Because the minute we do it, we make it right.
Amen.
Why? Because the inside is reflecting, the outside is reflecting the inside.
Amen.
But if you're sealed on the inside, any mistakes the outside makes, God's got it. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's a keeping power.
Amen.
And as with Noah's Ark, the inner sealing of you is far more important than anything else.
Amen.
It don't matter how big you are or how small you are. The Holy Ghost plays no favorites. And if you're sealed, it's to the day of your redemption. So it's not just enough to get saved and get baptized and get the Holy Ghost. You have to apply it to your life.
Amen.
Without the inner seal, you cannot keep your inside clean. And you can be torn apart from the inside. And it will not cover up any mistakes you made on the outside. That's why it's not good enough to just make the outside presentable as a Christian. It's not good enough to just play the part, to dress right, to cut your hair right, guys, and the women to let their hair grow, and the way we dress. That's just not good enough, because that's something you're doing on your own. You're making your body fit God's program. But if you're sealed on the inside, God's program is going to fit your body.
Yeah.
The inside will take care of the outside. In chapter 7, verse 4, it said, "For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain." And, you know, God told Noah finally, the ark was built. It was a job. Sealed on the inside, sealed on the outside, the three stories, the animals. They all went in. And that, now the people of the day, they've seen Noah for 120 years. And you know, that was probably a spectacle in them days. And I'm sure if anybody owned property around that, they probably charged admission for you to come across their property to see this big thing being built. You know, who knows? But anyway, you know the people were watching. If you were a townsperson in that day, are you going to tell me you would not have cared anything about what's going up there, out there in that field with this man named Noah, this crazy guy, and he's building this ark? Yeah, you'd been checking it out. We're all humans. Humans are people of interest, you know. And so we know that they were checking out what Noah's building. And, you know, and finally after 120 years, it's done. And Noah's still preaching, it's going to rain. And they keep saying, you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, all of a sudden, here are these wild animals, lions and tigers and things that would just rip you apart. And they see them going into the ark, walking beside a sheep that they would eat. You'd think something would trigger their mind. Something's going on here.
Right.
This ain't just common. Maybe he's a wizard. Maybe he's got them in some kind of a trance. Maybe he gave them a tranquilizer. What's going on here? But you would think that after seeing this miraculous event, you would want to get saved. You would think after seeing all the miracles Brother Brenham did of lame being healed and blind and all this, you'd think people would want the same thing.
Right.
And would rush into the ark of our day. But no, they want to find fault with it. They want to make excuses. They want to present their theories of why it's happening.
Right.
But now all these animals are going into the ark that should be killing each other, and they're going in peacefully, and they're watching that. Huh. Now that is kind of strange. You know they have 7 days to think about it. Read the Bible. It said, yet for 7 days, after the animals were in the ark, after Noah and his family were in their ark, God left that door open for 7 days. The grace and mercy of God. No one is without excuse. He has gave us 7 church ages to get into the ark. No one's without excuse. But one day, God's going to shut the door.
Right.
And when that door shut, the people say, huh, them animals went in. Noah went in. They came out for 6 days. What's going on in there? I don't know if they walked up and tried to peep in the door. I don't know what they were doing. But you know they were watching. And then on 7th day, all of a sudden, the door shut. Who shut that door? I didn't see anybody shut that door. Of course not. God shut the door.
Right.
Hey, what's this stuff? What's this? Where's this water coming from? Is this what rain really is? Now they're starting to have some doubts about what their churches had been teaching them. They're starting to have some doubts about what their universities had been telling them, what their books had been telling them. There's no way it can rain. And it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But you want to know something? It was too late. When you start seeing prophecies and predictions come to pass, it's too late.
Right.
You have to believe first.
Amen.
Because no amount of prophecies and predictions coming to pass will save you. It's your belief and obedience that will save you. God gave them plenty of chances. Revelation tells us of a coming destruction, and man has had 7 church ages to get in. And after Noah did all God's command, we know God shut the door. And after you have done the sealing, then it's up to God to shut out the devil. You know, God's going to shut out the devil. You can't do it. There's no way we can live the kind of life we want to live in this kind of world without being faced with temptations and trials and destruction on every hand. But God shuts the door where it can't get to you. Because as a human, I give in to temptation. We all do. We could give in to lust. We could give in to fear. We could give in to whatever. But God shuts that door where those things cannot get into us and bother us. They have no effect on our bodies. And God shut the door because God is a keeping power. And He don't want those things coming into our lives. So we get the Holy Ghost, He shuts the door, and guess what? He puts a sign on us that says, Satan can't touch him. and Satan came.
Right.
You remember Job?
Yeah.
The devil went down. You know, even the devil has to answer before God. It said Satan presented himself to God. When the men came before God, Satan came also among them. And God said, where have you been? He said, walking back and forth on the earth. And he said, well, what do you think of my prophet Job, my servant Job? And I went, yeah, what do you mean what I think about him? You protected him. I can't do nothing to him. Of course he loves you. Look, you've made him rich. You've gave him everything. Okay. Take care all the way, Satan. Go ahead. Job went from the richest to the poorest, from the healthiest to the sickest, from a man with kids to a man with no kids, from a man with a loving wife to a wife that just ridiculed everything he did. And he still served God. But there was a restoration coming. And God restored it all.
Amen.
So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When Satan throws his tactics, they can't get at you. God shut the door. And when he shuts the door, only he can open it. The door of the ark was not closed to keep Noah and his family in. It was closed to keep the others out.
Yeah.
Think about that. What would have happened if the door had been left open and the rains were coming and the waters were rising? The people would have went in that door and threw Noah and his family and all them animals out to save themselves. But God shut them in for their protection. And that's what God has done to us in this day. He has shut the door so Satan's tactics and an enemy cannot get in and destroy us from the inside. The Holy Ghost is a keeping power. When you're sealed, it's over. If the Holy Ghost isn't in you to shut you off from everything, but to keep you out of the worldly things. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It gets rid of all the garbage that's on the inside. And that's why the ark must be sealed on the inside first. Once the inside is sealed, the outside is an easy job. If the inside isn't sealed, you will be destroyed, not from the outside alone, but from the inside also. The most miserable people I know are so-called believers that aren't sealed with the Holy Ghost. They bite each other. They gossip about each other. They cause waves in the church. They're always running people down. They have nothing good to say about anybody, but yet they're deacons, they're elders, they're tithe payers, they're musicians, even pastors in the churches. And they're not sealed with the Holy Ghost. And they're just bringing damnation to themselves. Because they're the great pretenders. And that's why we have to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. You must be sealed on the inside to prevent God's wrath on you and eternal separation. And this only happens when you apply the Holy Ghost to the inside. The musicians will come. I believe, without apology, in the message God sent to Brother William Marion Brown.
Amen.
I believe it was the way God has provided an ark for us to escape the coming destructions. And we don't have a right to question a vindicated prophet. Just believe. I knew a man that set his church up on church order, just the way Brother Brennan preached it. And people ridiculed him for that. Said, well, you know, that was what Brother Brennan said was for his church. You know what he told them? If you have a better idea on church order than a vindicated prophet, I want to hear it. If you have a better idea on modesty and the way to dress than a vindicated prophet, I'm all ears. Because you're not a vindicated prophet. And the Bible says that God reveals his secrets to his pastors, to his evangelists. God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So you have to hear the prophet of your day. We had the rich man and Lazarus. where the rich man was in hell, in torments. And he said, send Lazarus just to dip his hand in some water and just touch my tongue with it. Can't do that. Well, let me go back to earth and warn my brothers and my loved ones about this place. And God said, look, they have my prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, if you don't hear the prophets, you're damned. If you don't hear the prophet of your age and obey and put your life in order to God's word through that prophet, you're not in the ark. The Holy Ghost will not reject truth. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you better get it. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, your ship is going to sink. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, hell is waiting. You don't hear people preaching about hell anymore. Well, for there to be a heaven, there has to be a hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell, but why is everybody going to hell? It's because the truth has been watered down. It's been sugar-coated. All these big churches, you know, I passed several of them this morning, and I'm thinking, there's probably 2,000-3,000 people go to that church. And probably none of them are going to heaven. Well, Brother Jonathan, you're judging. Am I judging? Well, you say they're going to heaven, you're judging. Why is it wrong to say they're going to hell, but it's not wrong to say they're going to heaven? Either way, you're judging. But the Word of God says, by the way they live their lives, that they've got deacons married 2 and 3 times, pastors living in adultery, and yet they're teaching their people it's okay to do this because they want to fill the offering plates. They want big churches. I'm not interested in big churches. I don't know how many's here tonight, this morning, but it's everybody God wanted here.
Right.
I preached to as little as 5 people. And in the Philippines, I preached to 1,000 people. But God ain't in numbers. God is in hearts. And He's only in the hearts that have been filled with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So if you're just stumbling through life, trying to live right, trying to do things right, there's an easier way. Get the Holy Ghost. Because when you've got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to try. It comes automatically. I don't have to go around and watch what I say because I might utter profanity. Profanity's not in me. I don't struggle by passing a liquor store and not having to turn in and get a drink. I have no desire to get a drink. I have no desire for the things of the world. And that's because the Holy Ghost has taken my body. I don't do things on my own. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ working through me. And when people see me, I want them to not see me. I want them to see Christ in me. There's no hope of glory in me, but there's hope of glory in what lives through me, Jesus Christ. Can we sing Draw Me Near?
And
and I'll be glad to pray with you. If not, we'll let Brother Tim close the service. Y'all pray for me. We're going back home today. It's an 11-hour drive. And keep Brother Tony in prayer, too. I think he's on the road right now. So God bless y'all.
Y'all enjoy that?
Yes.
Amen. It really spoke to me. Amen. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside.
Amen.
Man, it's time to get sealed because there's crazy things going on in this world today. Wars and rumors of wars. All the craziness, the Sodom and Gomorrah we live in, out in the world we go out to every day. Yeah, I don't see how it could last much longer. Amen. As we're dismissed, let's go ahead and sing Sanctuary.